Hello, everybody. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for a special edition of Texas Scorecard TV. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard. Today, we're joined on this Wednesday morning by Martin Holcim, a candidate for governor for Texas for 2022. So the first question I have, and I think a lot of people watching this, is who is Martin Holcim? What's your background?
Martin Holcim is a born and raised corn-fed East Texas log hauler. I'm your typical, I guess, what some people call Republican, conservative, redneck, so to speak. I'm very blue collar. Been pro blue collar all my life. I represent the blue collars pretty much in my district. I'm councilman for District 3 in Rust, Texas, and for the most part, I'd say that everyone in my district is we're all working class people. So it's people that I can relate to. 41 years old. Like I said, been in East Texas pretty much all my life. This is the one place that I can relate to pretty much everybody.
So you've been on the city council. How long have you been on the city council out there?
We're going into my third year. This is my second term. First term I ran against a 14-year incumbent. Then the second term I ran unopposed.
So what then sparked your interest to run for government, especially at the local level?
At the time, it was 2016, there were some things that were going on within the city that I couldn't line up with, and I couldn't really put my finger on what it was. But once I realized that it was and fixed from the inside, I decided to come in. I wanted to make changes, but it would be good changes, which is constitutional changes.
And so now we're here. It's 2020. We've got the November election, obviously, on the ballot. But then you've got the gubernatorial election is going to be in another 2 years. And you've announced and you've had a campaign going on social media, essentially, that you want to take on Governor Greg Abbott for governor in 2022. Why are you running for that position, and why start so early?
Well, here's the deal. I'm the underdog. Like you said earlier, who is Martin Holcim? No one really knows who Martin Holcim is other than an online presence and the few people that I've met at various rallies and events. So starting early, well, this may be early for some people, but this is right on time for me. It's very grassroots position is because the state of Texas is in trouble right now. I've been asked why I didn't run for state rep or senator or something like that. Why? Let's just go for where we can make the greatest change at. And I believe it's right there.
And so running is straight in there for governor, although of course you do have the city council experience as well. What triggered you to want to run and want to announce right now? Was it the situation around the coronavirus? Was it some other reasons?
The individual liberties of the Texans has always been a priority to me. I don't see us as being the most liberty-friendly state in the union. I mean, for Christ's sake, I mean, you've got Vermont, which is a Bernie Sanders state, which is a constitutional carry state. We're Texas, and we don't even compete with that. Things like this. I mean, it's just various other topics in there, but I mean, a big one would be constitutional carry, the medical freedom, things like this. I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to enjoy these things, not just as Texans, but as Americans.
Yeah, and I think that issue of individual liberty has really come up. Especially in the last several months, just due to these executive orders and these restrictions and shutdowns and such brought on by the coronavirus. If you were governor right now, how would you be handling this situation? What would you do differently?
First of all, the numbers are always important. But the most important thing, even over the numbers, the statistics, are the individual liberties of the people. The individual liberties of the people are the utmost importance. The Constitution does not grant rights. It protects those rights. First thing I would do is I would say, you got enough sense to take yourself to the doctor when you feel like you're sick or however you want to treat it. You treat it yourself. It's your liberty. It's your freedom. It's your business how you treat yourself. I'm not going to require you to put a mask on your face. Or I'm not going to require you to take a vaccination. These are things that we as individuals can do or not do, and it'd be our choice, completely our choice.
We got Mary asked in the comments right here, what are your three legislative priorities?
My three legislative priorities, first and foremost, we don't call special session nowhere near enough. So my first thing is we're going into special session. From there, we're going to start working on the constitutional, restoring the constitutional legislation to the state of Texas. We're going to start with things like constitutional carry. We're going to start with the proposed forced mandates, mandatory vaccinations, things like this. Schooling, education. These are things that hit us right here at the very forefront, right dead center, that we need to attack right now. We're being overran with liberal ideology in our school systems. And it's going from there to college, from college to the world. And it's just not working out. I mean, when I say liberal ideology, we're looking at socialism, all these other isms in there that's not Texas. So I think that those three right there would be my very first in terms of priorities that I would start working on myself.
And you have experience, like we've said, you have experience in local government. And so there are some issues that are very local government specific, but that the state has also come in and done things to try to help citizens with. One of those things has been the property tax burden. What are your thoughts on the current property tax system and whether or not there should be, you know, local control to raise rates as much as they want, or if, you know, we should do away with property taxes altogether? What are your thoughts on the current property tax system?
Well, some of your biggest problems is the people that you have sitting in these offices over at the appraisal districts and things like that. The very first thing they want to do is they want to meet this number. It's not about meeting numbers. It's about not taxing your citizens to death. My proposal would be that we do away with property tax after the sale. So whether you pay cash for it or you pay it out over a 30-year term, once that property balance has been paid, there should be no more property tax. It should be free and clear. You shouldn't be paying rent to the state of Texas. And there's ways to make up that number. But we're giving a lot of that money away to the federal government. For example, fuel excise tax. As a diesel truck owner, I pay 24 cents per gallon for diesel for my truck. Gas buyers, I think they spend 18 cents per gallon. These are all things that we give to the federal government, and the federal government gives it back to us. My proposal is the federal government needs us. We don't need them. If that's the case, adios.
Your thoughts on a ban for that?
For some reason, you're clipping in. Your audio is clipping in really bad. Repeat that question.
A ban on taxpayer-funded lobbying. What are your thoughts on taxpayer-funded lobbying? Or organizations like Texas Association of Counties, Texas Municipal League. It's been a legislative priority of the Republican Party of Texas to do away with those. What are your thoughts on a potential ban on taxpayer-funded lobbying?
Well, I know as far as my campaign goes, I have to pay for my own campaign. And I don't think that it's right that if someone doesn't support my ideology or my views, that they should be forced to pay for that campaign. It's the same with lobbying. There's lots of things out there that the government spends money on that I don't agree with. So let's do away with the taxpayer-funded lobbying.
Right. Billy asks in the questions here, what would you do for public education in Texas?
Public education needs a more hands-on approach rather than a one-size-fits-all. First thing you do is the citizens need to be involved in who represents them on the educational level. And what I mean by that is instead of sitting back and saying, well, it's a public school system, let them do it the way they want to do it, we need to have a more hands-on approach and saying, we do want this person in this office. We don't want this person in this office. This is why. And I think the taxpayers are doing a pretty good job about raising a voice about it now. But the problem is after these things have already been pushed into place, such as certain curriculum, it's too late. So we need to have a more, I guess, say more a heavier presence in the people that are supposed to be representing us. We're paying them.
And to that same effect, what are your thoughts on the standardized test, the STAR testing? There's a lot of talk about, you know, folks, some folks like it, a lot of folks don't. What are your thoughts on the STAR test?
Well, my wife is a teacher. We have a daycare, and we've got plenty of friends who are teachers. I've got lots of friends who are some of the older school teachers, and they'll tell us we don't teach our kids anymore. We prepare them to take a test. So if all you're doing is preparing kids to take one test so they can go to the next level or graduate, I don't really see where it's doing them any good. I think we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the things that probably you and I were raised with, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, world geology, things like this. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we could be teaching our kids rather than common core math and sexual identification, gentrification and identification and things like that. These are all things that most conservative Texans don't agree with anyways.
Right. So switching gears a little bit here, you know, looking back at the last several years, you know, Republicans have held control Republicans have held control of state government in Texas. They've held control of the state legislature, and yet we've seen some of those Republican priorities, like you mentioned, like constitutional carry, repeatedly fail to pass into law. If you were governor, what would you do? Is there anything you think you could do in order to ensure that those priorities pass, or at least, you know, get a vote?
Well, see, I'm more of a hands-on type guy myself. What I mean by that is, if someone votes a certain way and we know it's not constitutional, you need to put that guy on blast. You need to tell everybody in his district or what area he represents, hey, this is what this guy voted for, and this is your representative. I don't mind taking out column space in the newspapers, and I don't mind going to social media with different audio clips of certain council members or whoever and saying, hey, this person voted against this, or this person voted for this. This is your representation. I think that the people need to be held accountable from the top down. My job is to hold them people accountable, and my job is also to be accountable. So I think when the people know what their representation, so to speak, is voting for or against, they start getting more involved. They start taking a more, again, hands-on approach and getting involved in their local legislation. For instance, myself, I got involved in the local scene here with city council because I seen things that just didn't line up right in my thinking, and come to find out I was right with a lot of it.
Another big issue we've heard a lot about has been contact tracing. Governor Abbott and the Texas Department of State Health signing a $300 million agreement to bring contact tracing for the coronavirus to Texas. What are your thoughts on contact tracing and any sort of privacy concerns?
That was $295 million that was wasted, absolutely wasted. Not only was it just wasted, it was given to people we've been fighting in different countries for how many years now? We basically paid a bunch of Muslims, or whoever they are, to keep track of us. Okay, the only person that keeps track of me is my wife, now. And that's because we have we share the locations on our phone. But that's pretty much the only person that needs to know where I'm at, or you're at, or anybody else. When we pay people to track us, we give the government just that much more of a bite into our personal lives, to the point that we don't have a personal life anymore.
Right. Joel Starnes watching says, what is the number one proper role of state government?
The number one proper goal of the state government is to manage the affairs of the state, not dictate. And what I mean by manage is, well, I have a manager at my daycare. And if my manager is not doing the job she's supposed to be doing, she gets fired. I don't think that we put people in place to dictate how we live our lives. They represent us.
Another big question we're getting a lot of questions about here in the comments are red flag laws, and referring to gun laws and red flag laws. What are your thoughts? I think I can guess what you think about red flag laws, but how do folks fight back against those?
Do not comply. When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty.
Right, right. What about, we've seen, and we've got another question here, where in Austin, particularly, I know you're out in East Texas, but you've got Austin in particular has instituted this homeless camping ordinance, where essentially, people can camp out anywhere downtown. It's become a big problem here. The state has looked into fixing that. Governor Abbott has attempted, at least, to alleviate that problem, but it still exists here. What would you do in order to fix the homeless problem in Austin and in other cities?
Well, plain and simple, that's vagrancy. But let's get to the root cause of it, okay? A lot of these people do this because they don't want the responsibility of a home. I understand that some people are also on the street because they have no choice. We get to the root cause of why these things have happened. Those are the people that actually want to be helped. Those are the people who can use the help. But the ones who decide to live there because that's just what their choice is, let's get them out of there. Let's figure out some way to get them out of there. And I don't really understand how you'd go about doing that. I mean, it's really a city issue. But I think at a state level, especially if I'm living in Austin, Texas, the last thing that I want to do is walk outside and see a tent pitched in my front yard or my backyard. I'm probably going to turn my dog loose on you. on a serious note, I think we started addressing the root causes of these things. And some of the root causes are mental health. Some of those things can be drug addictions, alcohol addictions. Again, these aren't things that the state should necessarily be throwing a ton of money into. But you look at it like this. I mean, some of the things we waste money on, I would rather invest in humanity's sake than I would contact tracing. And some of these people are also our veterans. Let me forget that. Now, while we have veterans on the street, it's unbeknownst to me, it's bewildering as to why we would treat our veterans like that. I know people that live in Section 8 housing that live better than people who have fought for this country. There's a problem.
Right. Absolutely. So we talked a bit about the issues. Now, I think, you know, from a practical perspective, okay, running for governor, announce you're running for governor. Governor Abbott, I think last I checked, has about $40 million cash on hand and probably an ability to raise $100 million if he needs it. How are you going to be able to compete with that?
You know, I drive a log truck for a living. Sometimes it pays good and sometimes it costs me a lot. But here's the deal. God has always been faithful. He's always given me the ability to get myself and my family to these events, to hotels, to pay for all the expenses. I've funded this entire campaign out of pocket and out of that log truck so far. I don't think that if this is meant to be that he's going to give up on me now. So we're going to keep going that direction. At some point, I'm sure we're going to have to get out of that log truck and really get on the road and start just going place to place. And that's fine with me, too. And I'm sure that things will happen the way they're supposed to happen.
Right. Great. Excellent. Well, if folks want to follow your campaign, I know you're on Facebook, but where can they go do that? And how can they help you out if they want to do that?
Right now, best thing you can do is just continue to share. We need name recognition like crazy. Okay. We need to know who Martin Holson really is. Facebook is the way to go. I've got a small presence on Twitter, got a presence on Instagram, got a presence on Parler, also wokepatriots.com. And this morning I decided to start messing with YouTube a little bit. So when we figure out how to get the privacy settings right, we'll also be available on YouTube. Again, right now, the biggest thing we can use is just the name recognition. We need people really promoting this campaign and promoting Martin Holson if it's someone they can get behind.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Martin, again, for taking time to join us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brandon.